Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Kat Daka. In today's episode, we're talking about time. And this is such a big topic. I feel like we could talk about this in so many different ways. But today, the way that we're approaching this conversation, the message that I'm feeling called to share is how my relationship to time has changed through this journey back to myself, which is very much centered around Kapwa, this Filipino concept of Kapwa, which we'll get into, but it's basically an interconnectedness. It's about community. It's about finding your people. So the thing I want to talk about today is how this idea of finding your people, connecting back to self, and that self for me is somebody who is very much in community, part of community. The things that I do, the ideas, the projects, the work that I want to do is centered around community. How that journey to embody that Filipino concept of Kapwa has changed my relationship to time. Now, I could go on and on and on and on about how this embodiment of Kapwa is changing different parts of my life, but today we're going to focus on time. Truly, like, I could get into how it has changed my relationship to beauty, my relationship to career and work. And of course, like, as the podcast has progressed, we have touched on that. But today, what I'm really feeling called to talk about is my relationship to time and how embodying Kapwa has changed that. So before we can even start talking about this changed relationship, I want to talk about this concept of Kapwa. Now, Kapwa can be defined in a lot of different ways. There's a ton of Filipino scholars out in the world who have very similar definitions of Kapwa, but here's my interpretation of it. Here's how I have kind of framed and understood Kapwa to be in my mind and in my heart. For me, Kapwa, in its most simplest terms, is the idea of interconnectedness. For me, when I think about Kapwa, it is this just underlying kind of like deep-rooted knowing that there is absolutely no way that I can exist in this human form on my own. And also the idea that I don't want to. I actually do not want to exist on my own. You'll hear different definitions of Kapwa as like seeing yourself in other people, this interconnectedness with people, but I really resonate with this idea that we were just not meant to be here on our own. The things that I do, it's not I-centered, it's we-centered, us-centered. And I really love this concept of every aspect of my life is and can be in relation, right? Like, systems of oppression work tirelessly all day, every day to isolate us, right? This whole divide and conquer, hyper independence, all of these things that systems of oppression, again, work so tirelessly to keep us isolated. It's because these systems that are in place, the colonizers, they knew that if we could stand in our power, if we could stand in our power in community, tap into this ancestral knowledge, tap into the knowledge of community, the power of community, that we would be difficult to control, right? So for me, this act of being Kapwa-centered or leading my, I don't know, even like decision-making, my frames of thoughts around Kapwa is truly an act of resistance, right? Like resisting these systems that want to keep us isolated. And when you really think about it, it's perfectly built. The system is perfectly built. When you think about society values hyper-independence and goal setting and dreams that are very individualistic, right? Like think about the American dream. That's not a dream of, oh, I'm going to put on for community and I'm going to help a lot of people. No, it's let me go to this other land and make a bunch of money. Like maybe I'm misinterpreting what the American dream is, but when I look at the ways that we celebrate this hyper independence, like the idea of making it and fame, like we're a society that's very like hyper obsessed with fame and having more and owning possessions and just this like hyper consumerism. Again, like the system works perfectly in all of its little pieces, right? Because the way that we achieve those things is through our hyper independence, through our independent success. Nowhere out there, in my opinion, are we glamorized. Do we have this glamorized view of a world where our success is tied to community? And then when you flip it, right, there's also this almost demonization or shame, guilt, whatever you want to call it, around asking for help. And it's seen as weak for us to need other people. And when you say it out loud, it just is so whack. It's so freaking whack. Like, how can that be true? How can that be true that we're meant to be hyper independent, that we're meant to exist alone? Like, for me, it just like doesn't even compute. So when I think about this embodiment of Kapwa, coming back to myself, coming back to this ancestral knowledge, it really is about unlearning all of these hyper independent ways of existing, dropping my shame and guilt around calling community in when I need help. And there is something about that embodiment of ancestral knowledge, embodiment of Kapwa, that puts me in the frequency to call community in. And that's kind of the next piece of this, is that through this work of unlearning hyper independence, of embodying Kapwa, that through that knowledge work, the right people come in, right? I was listening to another podcast. It's called Soul Salon by Ayana Understood. I'm pretty sure that's the name, but she, I think, is very popular on TikTok, which I don't go to, but I follow her on Instagram. That's how I found her podcast. The point is, she came on to talk about feeling lost. She had a whole podcast episode on feeling lost. So excellent. Really recommend that you check that one out also. But one of the points that she made that really stuck with me is when you're feeling lost, like you don't know which way to go, you start seeking answers. You start searching for answers and also teachers, right? So through this work of embodying Kapwa, or whatever learning, unlearning, discovery journey that you are, and sometimes it is from this place of being a little bit lost, you inevitably will find your people through your education journey, right? In this embodiment of Kapwa, here it is again, is I am not meant to learn these lessons alone. Some lessons, yes, I think I am meant to probably experience something or go through something that is alone, but I'm never truly alone in these things, right? Like the learning happens in community, the unlearning happens in community. And I think that's why I am now so passionate about bringing together these people through creating the spaces that in my own learning journey, I wish that they existed. So this space right here, Tita Talks, as a gathering place, as a podcast, I know that this is meant to be part of somebody else's journey of learning and maybe coming back to their selves, coming home, whatever journey you're on. Like, I'm really honored that even in a small way, you're listening to this. So it has to be part of it, right? Even if you left the podcast episode or just stopped it right now and you're like, oh, that was not it. I did not resonate with that. Cool. That's still a learning. I still helped you learn that. So it's really cool to think about how once you start learning more about yourself, inevitably you will call people in as you search for the answers out there, right? This idea that there has to be more out there. And the journey of finding your people, finding your community, I think is a hard one. I think it's difficult. And again, because these systems of oppression are built perfectly to keep us isolated. So if you are in this place where you feel like, oh man, like I feel so lonely, or I feel alone, or I don't know who my people are, I think if I can offer something just from my own journey, my own practice of education, it's that once you start connecting almost like authentically and truly to yourself, that the right people will come in at the right time. And I know that's like almost annoying to hear when you're in a tough spot, but I just think it's true. I think it's true when you start exuding a certain energy or aura about things, it just attracts the right people. Okay, so over the last couple of years in this decolonization journey, I am very much someone who seeks education outside of me, seeks the spaces to do this learning and community. So maybe I am kind of I wouldn't say extreme example, but I am someone who is extremely active in, I guess, like creating the opportunities for myself. And I have made so many of the, I would say, like really quality relationships that I have today through some sort of educational or, I hate the word networking, but like a gathering and community of sorts, even online. Obviously, last couple of years, very online, but also in person. I'm very much a go and see kind of person. And I realize that's not for everybody, but for me, that's the way that I have found Kapwa and have cultivated this feeling of belonging, feeling of seeing myself in other people, this feeling of being held and seen by people who get it. I almost can't even describe it in other terms other than just finding the people who get it. They just have been there. They've seen it. They can validate my lived experience because theirs is oftentimes very similar to mine. And not to say that I haven't or cannot connect with people who do not have a similar lived experience as me, but I think it is so important to also have those connections with people who are in the trenches with you. And I am so grateful for the fact that there are a number of people who now I can call very close friends and lean on, but a lot of these relationships had initiated from, you know, joining in this Zoom meet that I didn't know anybody. I just kind of showed up, but I really resonated with the work of the facilitator or, you know, whatever it is, or it's an organization that I've been following for a while and I'm, you know, a big fan of their work and I show up. I think for me in this journey of coming back to myself, returning to a factory default reset setting of being in community, for me that's the default, that's where I was always supposed to be. In that journey of resetting all of this, it is about showing up, and showing up for myself means literally showing up in these spaces, and also the knowing that I have something to bring to these spaces too. And I really want to encourage you to understand and know that if you feel called to attend something, if you feel called to meet someone, or, you know, you see someone on the Instagram and you really admire their work and you align with it, that was meant to find you. And that when you go and talk to this person or go to these events, that you also have something to offer there. And I think it is about this like reciprocal co-creating nature of community that is so enriching. I think that's the part. That's the part, is that like these works, these events, or, you know, whatever project it is that you're working on, it's not meant to exist on its own. It's meant to be shared in community. This like shared knowledge is so powerful. It's so powerful. That's why I'm kind of obsessed with this idea of Teacher Talks really becoming this platform for us to share our stories, and how historically Reclaim Your Wealth has really been this place of storytelling and validating each other's stories, and how the power of sharing our experiences allows us to kind of like redistribute that power back into community, right? Like you've seen it, you felt it, and when you're in these moments where you need to use it, you can like almost call it back, tap into it. So where I wanted to go with all this is my relationship to time. So we talked a lot about Kapwa and how I just think it doesn't make any sense at all for us to live in isolation, to do things in isolation, that we're actually meant to be in community. And this long-winded chat about finding your people, that's all part of the journey of embodiment of Kapwa. So we went there, we talked about it, and now I want to talk about how in creating these relationships, in showing up to these things, in, again, this bigger project of embodying Kapwa, I have expanded my reference point for what is possible. I have expanded my reference point for what I believe time to be. Now, to provide a little bit of context on, I guess, my previous beliefs around time, I have been raised, and again, systems of oppression work perfectly, sell us this idea that time is this linear thing, where I need to go from this goal to this goal to this goal to this milestone to this one to that one in order to be successful. The air quotes were happening around successful. And like I have already talked about on this podcast, I was really on that path. I was the perfect immigrant daughter. I did, you know, all of my schoolings, did all my schoolings, went to university, went to business school, did more post-secondary, got a government job. I was on the linear timeline. I was on the linear timeline, and then I snapped one day. And I really feel like that was just like ancestor guided. That meltdown was ancestor guided. Somebody was shaking my shoulders going like, this ain't it. This is not it. We need to get you out of here. So in these relationships that I've built, in all of the sharing of knowledge that has happened through those relationships, I had unknowingly started this almost like new relationship to time. And that relationship was formed through all of these new reference points that I had for what time could look like, or what it maybe was supposed to always look like. I began unlearning and unsubscribing to this idea that there was only one correct way to exist in a timeline, that also this idea that multiple timelines could exist, that I have the power to change the trajectory of things through my own actions, through this idea of Kapwa, that like I can do these things in community. Like it all just became a lot more possible. I think that's the true connecting thread between Kapwa and this changed relationship to time, is all the brand new reference points creating this image in my mind that just like could not exist without that, right? Like this understanding and returning back to, again, like an ancestral knowledge that I've always had. Like I actually do really believe that we store a lot of this knowledge in our body, but we've been trained to suppress that. But this like remembering that we can do more than what's being sold to us. So I think that's a really important line to draw between Kapwa and this idea of what time is and what time is supposed to be, right? Because if we resist these ideas of us being perfect capitalist machines, right? That we're actually not machines, that we're more like plants, that we're more like nature, that we're not a machine. Like if you're going to choose a metaphor for who you are and what you are in this world, like instead of machines, like maybe we just are flowers. Maybe we're flowers in a garden, right? Like when we unsubscribe from this idea that we're meant to be these machines of capitalism, that we're actually just meant to exist in this like really cute little garden together, that we're supposed to be like sitting out in the sun and hydrating and coexisting together instead of like a machine. So when I trade in this ideology of me needing to be this machine of capitalism, when I trade that in for, oh, maybe I'm actually just supposed to be this flower on the planet, like my relationship to time has to change. Inevitably, it has to change because nature doesn't observe time as linear. If you look at nature as an example for what time is supposed to be, it's very much cyclical, right? Seasons, all of that. So my journey back to self, all of this like embodiment of Kapla has just opened my eyes to the way that I was singularly subscribing to an idea of time. Now, no disrespect to people who are on, you know, a different life path than me, and like obviously we're all on very different life paths, but I really did subscribe to this timeline that I needed to achieve certain milestones in order to be valuable in this world. Now, I actually just think that my existing is the value. Like, I don't need to rush to the next milestone, whatever that is, that like goal, whatever. And I'm not saying like don't have goals or don't, you know, have dreams for yourself, but just know that they arrive exactly when they're supposed to. And what I'm learning and what I have seen, what I have observed from people in community, now that I have this like expanded reference point of what time can be, it's that we are just always protected in it, right? Like, I don't actually have to worry because I'm always protected. Like, 4 years ago, I could have never quit a job without a plan or been laid off and not immediately start looking for work or taking the first job or, you know, like serving tables in between, right? Like, if I wasn't making money, if I wasn't contributing to society in the way that I felt like I was supposed to, I would feel like I'm behind in the timeline. Or even just the act of like not working, like that in itself, like I would have believed that to be a setback in my timeline. Now I'm sitting here laid off from a job, you know, like 3 months laid off from a job, and I fully, full body believe that I'm right on time, that this podcast is right on time, that you, the listener listening to this podcast, are right on time, and that there is no incorrect timing of things, or that like if I don't sequence my life perfectly, quote unquote perfectly, that I am not like a worthy or valuable member of this society, right? And I think that that's really easy to believe, again, in these systems of oppression that have sold it to us so perfectly. What I also think is important in divestment of this linear timeline is that we celebrate unconventional milestones. Something, when I turned 30, something that I really reflected on, I'm 32 now, but when I turned 30, something that I really reflected on, because there was a ton of change in my life that happened between the ages of like 27 to 30. And 27, 28 is really when my awakening, if you will, started. And I was reflecting on the fact that I was 30, unmarried. I had just sold my house, condo, and I was working for myself at the time. I had quit my corporate job, started working on my own, and I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder about how, okay, I'm 30 and I feel like this is such a huge milestone for me to, first of all, what a blessing it is to get to that age and like to age and feel unafraid of it. Again, in this like linear timeline, we are sold this idea that somehow at the age of 30, like we're too old to start new things or to try new things, and that life happens all in your 20s, and if you don't have it all figured out by then, that you're behind in life somehow. Like, no, I am so excited to be now 32, and I have this like forward future knowing that 40s, 50s, whatever may come, that it just gets better and better. Like, I don't actually look at the past or look at like my 20s and think, oh wow, I really wish I could go there. Absolutely not. I absolutely do not think that. And I also think I'm just like a different person now, and I like the person I am now. Not that I didn't like me when I was 20, but I'm just more aware now. But anyway, the thing that I had a bit of like resentment towards, truly, like, if I'm honest, that's the word I had. It was like resentment towards, is that I felt like I had some people, but I didn't. I don't know. I felt like I didn't. When those major life events were happening, I had so few people in my life who were sincerely celebrating that with me. And to me, that is the product of us subscribing to this timeline we're supposed to be on. Like, and I maintain, if that is a timeline that you're on and you're happy with it, I am so happy for you. But I just know that that's not for me. But I guess the thing that has always made me resentful, honestly, is, you know, when I left a relationship that wasn't serving me, when I left a job that was so toxic, when I changed the way that I was living, like, those things aren't celebrated in the way that society celebrates a marriage or a baby or a new house. Like, again, I'm so happy to celebrate those things with my friends, but I also just feel like the reason why we're so hyper fixated on those milestones is because these systems of oppression work perfectly to keep us in this one track to success kind of mind. Again, if you're on that timeline and you're happy, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. But I just know that that wasn't for me. I tried it. I went down that path, and I just, maybe one day I'll return to those milestones, check off those milestones. But I'm just not interested in it today. And not to say I'm not going to achieve those things, quote unquote achieve. That was such a strange choice of words, but not saying I will never engage in those things, but I just know that my goals today look a lot different than that. My goals today are very much rooted in, like, a service to community and having soul purpose goals and claiming a spot in my lineage and remembering my ancestral knowledge. Like, it's things that can't be, like, quantified or monetized or, I don't know, just, like, conventionally achieved. And I'm just happy that I have these new reference points for what time can be and what my timeline of success can look like, and that I feel safe to do that. I think that that's a big part of it too. Now, when I think about Kapwa and the relations that I've made, I get so excited when I hear about the projects, work, things that people are really excited about. And again, it's this message that we don't have to exist on anyone's timeline other than our own, right? Like, we don't have to exist in this timeline that has been kind of forced on us by society, that we can just make it up as we go. You know, this idea that we live in a white man's imagination, like, no, I want to live in my imagination. And when I hear my friends, my Kapwa, doing all of the things, like, even this morning, oh, now that I'm reflecting on the week, I actually just feel like such a magnet for good news. Like, I can think of three things that were shared with me this week where I have this, like, reminder or this, it's like a little hints or examples from ancestors saying, like, yeah, this is all possible. It's all possible. Like, whatever time and way you want to do this, like, it's all possible. So this week I heard from someone I haven't spoken to in a long time, and she's doing this advocacy work in fertility, which, especially in the Filipino community, there is so much shame and guilt around that. And I have just seen so many people, so many women in my life that are close to me, just suffer silently through this. And she's doing some amazing work in the advocacy of this, both on a policy side and also in gathering community in a meaningful way to have these important discussions. And I just think, like, oof, that is not like a path that is normally talked about. I'm gonna have her on the show eventually, so I'll reveal all of this maybe later. But that's one example. Second example, today I heard from a friend, and she shared news on her Instagram stories that she's leaving a position. And I saw that and I just instantly just excited. Like, I knew that this was gonna be something good. So I sent her a message, go like, hey, sending my love, like, I don't know what's next for you, but I know it's going to be good. And I'm so excited for you. And she went and shared all of the projects that she's working on. And oh my God, like, again, if you told me a couple of years ago that I would get excited about the thought of quitting a job without having a plan after, that's not a train of thought I could have had a couple of years ago. And again, like, kapwa, it's these reference points for time. Like, it's once you start awakening to things, you get provided examples of that. And again, like, oh, so excited for this. Like, she literally jumped timelines by quitting that job. Totally changed the trajectory of her life, her career. And as soon as she quit that job, she was provided with contracts immediately, things that are way more aligned than that job could ever be. So when I draw the connecting line between kapwa and a change relationship to time, it really is about this expanded reference point. Like, okay, so I see it and I understand it, and now I'm being provided examples of it. And I think there is something really to be said about the saying, or I don't know whose quote this is, but like, what you focus on expands, right? So I think it is actually very important for us to actively divest in ideologies that keep us small, that are invested in keeping us quiet and small and isolated and away from each other and not in community and unable to tap into our community power, so that we can focus on these more kapwa, community-centered ideas, ways of living, ways of existing. Like, we can just dream together. And I think that's just how we were always meant to be. So I really hope that the takeaways from this episode are landing with you in a certain, in a way that like inspires expansion. Again, I could go on and on and on about the ways in which kapwa and finding your people and being in community is like the source. It is the source of this expansion. And again, this episode is really much focused on like a changed relationship to time. Like, I just view time so differently now. I'm not so fearful. Yeah, these systems of oppression just work to keep us afraid and keep us small-minded in these things. But I think once you start inviting your people in, it all just becomes very clear and expansive and possible. And just like, think about all the beautiful things that happen when we approach all of the other areas of our lives through this expanded lens of like, wow, everything is possible. And yes, we still have to exist within these systems, but at least we can do that work together, right? Like, what good is it to do all of this in isolation? Anyways, that brings me to the end of the episode. I don't know, I'm feeling really good. I'm gonna go for a walk. Love you, bye. You, my baby. Nobody ever made me feel this way.
that's all that counts. So don't you worry about people hanging around. They ain't bringing us down. I know you and you know me, and that's why I say, hey. Nobody gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I must stick with you.
Okay, we are back. Bon après-midi et salut on the spring day, even if it hasn't felt like spring. If you're just randomly tuning in, je m'appelle Fanny Cristo et vous écoutez à Radio Capois on 90.3 FM CKUT during the 2 to 3 p.m. Wednesday time slot. Before the music break, we had the home slice Kat Daka with her monthly Tita Talk segment, so shouts to her. Now, usually, we have John Marvin Reyes deliver the weekly news update, but he's feeling a bit out of sorts, so I'll be filling in for him today, again on that front. But John Marvin, if you're listening right now, drink some tea with honey and ginger, because for real, I might get used to doing the news. But anyway, anong balita? Well, this news is about Marina Summers, if you're familiar with her. And speaking of Marina, she was actually in town a few days ago performing, and I know several of our Kapwa made it out and got to meet her. Very exciting, especially since she just made it to the top four of RuPaul's Drag Race UK versus the World. In this week's episode, Marina wore traditional Yakan wedding ceremony attire for the runway category Take Me Up the Aisle. Marina posted more snaps of her look on her Instagram account, writing, "Not all weddings are white." "I feel honored and blessed to have been able to share this traditional Yakan wedding ceremony attire, one of the Philippines' many ethnic groups, on the world stage of Drag Race UK BBC. From Luzon to Visayas and now Mindanao, I meant it when I say I wanted to represent the entire country," she added. The attire, made with fabric from Yakan textile makers, was brought to life by Zamboanga-based designer Eric Menyoza. "That is absolutely beautiful," RuPaul said, commenting on Marina's look. Marina is the only Asian representative in this show's season. She is also the first drag queen to represent the Philippines in an international edition of the Emmy Award-winning original series. She made an unforgettable entrance on the show with a stunning Filipina look and even made netizens LOL after she used Durabox as her luggage. In a previous episode, she amazed the judges with her performance of Ama Filipina, her version of Meme and Trata's Ama Kabogera. So far, Marina has received 3 repeater badges. This includes the Rusical episode, where she made her story by getting RuPaul to clap and say, "Wow," with her runway performance, which Mama Ru rarely does in the show. The winner of Drag Race UK versus the World will win £50,000. And this article was written and published on March 23, 2024 on the GMA Network website. Now, for the next story, this is a little something that's a little closer to heart to the Santa Kapwa and the Radio Kapwa people. You know, on my end, the only reason I'm here, the only reason I'm, you know, just talking to all you people is because last year, I went to a Santa Kapwa event, you know, the Kapwa Walk, and I met so many great people. I had just moved here from Toronto. And, you know, over the last year, I've just been meeting so many amazing people, been getting so many opportunities, and none of it was possible without Santa Kapwa's programming. So with that said, I just want to say, well, this is more of the official statement now, but please, please support Santa Kapwa's ongoing monthly programming, Kapwa Walk in Kaartahan, for the rest of 2024. you know, we have a GoFundMe page, and I'll talk about that later. But, you know, I just want to, again, with the official statement, we are excited to introduce you to a cause very close to our hearts, Santa Capua. Together with Terry, Sophia, John Marvin, and Emily, we are embarking on a journey that extends far beyond the confines of a classroom. This fundraising campaign is part of our SCPA 321 course in the winter 2024 semester at Concordia University, but its impact will continue long after the course ends. We are working with Santa Capua to raise $2,000 to keep its ongoing monthly programming, such as the Capua Walk and Ka'artahan, for the rest of 2024. The fund will be used to acquire food and honorarium for its community members. It has lost its only source of revenue, which was a grant from a generous community organization who saw its program funding reduced. Since the funding cut is recent, this is the first attempt at a fundraising campaign for the center. We will put together a social media campaign to raise the objective fund to ensure the center can continue its monthly programming for the rest of the 2024 calendar year. Now, if you're listening and just wondering what is Capua Walk, well, Capua Walk is a monthly community walk that began during the cold Montreal winter months with the lack of physical activity and connection among the community. Its stated goal is to foster the mental and physical well-being of the community by bringing people to explore different Montreal neighborhoods, connect to local communities, and move together, hence. Since November 2022, we roamed around neighborhoods like Mile End, Pointe St. Charles, Verdun, Shaughnessy Village, Chinatown, Uptown, Old Port, and NDG. Now, what is Ka'artahan? Ka'artahan is a monthly Filipino AX artist tambayan or meetup with and started by Ka Collective. Whether you call yourself an artist or you're flirting with the title, come and hang out with other Filipino X creatives, catch up, talk process, or just have some merienda while you meet other people. Ka Collective is a group of Filipino X artists living and working in Cajake, Montreal, made up of Andy Vicente, Alan Matudio, AC Tagubar, and Deanne Louise C. Nardo. And we actually just had a new member join us, Zion. And it was formed to find support and solidarity through the Filipino value of Capua, honoring each person's artistic practice while harmonizing with each other through shared processes and principles. So please, please join us on this journey. Together, we can make a lasting impact. Whether you donate, share this campaign with your friends and family, or simply spread the word, you are helping us build a safe space for the Filipino X community in Montreal and beyond. Thank you for being a part of this incredible journey with Santa Capua. With heartfelt gratitude, this message was written by Terry, Sophia, John Marvin, and Emily. Now, you can find the GoFundMe link on Santa Capua's Instagram page. The link is there. So just find us on Instagram. That's instagram.com/@SantaCapua. CENTREKAPWA. And once again, please, please support. I myself donated, and this Santa Capua is just something that's really close to my heart too. So I just hope other people, if you've been to a Santa Capua event, I hope you feel the same way. Anyway, I've been talking for too long now. I know our listeners probably need a little musical break during the day, whether you're at work, at home cooking, or stuck in traffic, or anything in between. So let's bump some tunes, and I'll be back with the community announcements after the break.
I know I'm not what you need, baby, why you trying? Come over and comfort me, ain't no sense in lying. Cause I've been honestly, we could just part ways. Just a girl that you can meet walking down the street. I think you know that I'm the one that you want in your company. I'm too much of a woman, too much of a woman, too much of a
Welcome back, beautiful people of Montreal. This is Fanny Crystal bumping through your speakers, and you are tuned into Radio Kapwa on 90.3 FM CKUT. We run the show every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. thanks to you listeners. If you didn't know, this station is largely supported through donations to ensure we are not corporate-backed, so our programming isn't influenced by people who wouldn't have our best interests in mind, to say the least. I mention this because CKUT just had our annual donation drive this past weekend, and I'm happy to say we reached our goal of $50,000. So salute to all those who donated. It's because of your donations that we can keep our ear to the community while also serving as their voice. And with this voice, I'm going to get into the community announcements, so mark your calendars. First off, today actually, this Wednesday, March 27, from 6 p.m. at Café Dumé, 3689 Rue Jean-Mons, as part of Let's Confront Racism Together 2024, Festival Access Azi invites you to engage in the bilingual conversation, draglesque and humor, healing and celebrating, hosted by Joyrider MTL. This bilingual conversation brings together Komodo X Dragon, Bijuria.drag, and Cindy underscore ELB to discuss their ways of confronting racism through their practices of burlesque, drag, and humor. In collaboration with MTL Arts Inter, this free event will be an opportunity to hear stories of resilience and healing through the arts. For more info, you can visit their Instagram page at Festival Access AZ. Now, the next day, tomorrow, Thursday, March 28, students and faculty are invited to come perform, hang out, and cheer each other on from the audience for the first ever Cast Cabaret at Mainline Theater, 3997 St. Laurent Boulevard. This is sure to be a night you won't want to miss. Join Mainline Cabaret for an evening of fun and excitement filled with student acts on the stage at the heart of Montreal's indie scene and Fringe Festival. For more info, you can visit their Instagram page at Mainline Theater. Still, the same day, Thursday, March 28, join us, Santa Kapwa, for Kar Tahan's monthly Philippine X artist, Tambayan, with Ka Collective from 6 p.m. onwards at Shift Concordia. Whether you call yourself an artist or you're flirting with the title, come and hang out with other Philippine X creatives. You know, you can shoot the ish, talk process, or, you know, just have some merienda while you meet other cool people. Kita kits. Next up, the next day, Friday, March 29, you can join Montreal's LGBTQ plus community center on Instagram. That's CCLGBTQ plus at 6:30 p.m. for a free self-massage workshop where you can learn the specific point on your body to quickly release tension and feel soothed. Involve Youth on Instagram, that Jeunesse Engage Involve Youth, has invited Bruno Defresne, a certified massage therapist and artisan, to lead two holistic healing workshops in the month of March. Spaces are limited to only 15 participants. For more info, you can visit their Instagram page at Jeunesse Engage Involve Youth. The next event, March 29 and March 30, Bading Film Fest will present their first lineup of filmmakers on Friday for the fiction category and on Saturday for the queer spotlight. Doors open starting at 5 p.m. at 460 St. Catherine Street West, Bureau 602. It's going to be wheelchair accessible with ramp and elevators, and you can also BYOB. Check out their Instagram page at bading.filmfest. Saturday, March 30, the Trans ID Clinic is providing a legal information and accompaniment service, including a commissioner for oaths and document verification, between 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. for all matters relating to first and or last name changes, gender marker changes, and other related requests. For example, passport applications, name updates elsewhere, etc. at L'Asterisk, which is at 1575 Rue Atatakin. For more info, you can visit their Instagram page at Translaw and at Celestria None. Now, every Sunday, starting from March 31st, Reiki healer Akira and seasoned sound healer Haley are holding healing frequencies, Reiki and sound bath ceremony. The intention for these Reiki and sound ceremonies is to live a more fully embodied and empowered life where we are deeply connected to our creativity, our sensuality, and our divine power. For more info, you can visit their Instagram pages at sun.healinggoddess, and that's spelled sun.healinggoddexx, and also Haley, which is at Haley.Gaia, spelled Haley.Gaia. Finally, I did mention this in the previous break, but Santa Kappa is holding a fundraiser right now. So please, please, you know, check out our Instagram page, Instagram.com/Santa Kappa, to find out more. And the GoFundMe link is there. We need your help so we can continue our regular programming, which benefits the community. Also, for the next announcement, announcement number two, Kwentuhan storytelling is a Filipino culture superpower. Kabanka wants you to contribute to the creation of Kwentuhan, with Kapwa highlighting our stories of anti-Asian racism to call attention to the importance of our experiences in the Filipino diaspora. Inspired by the Filipinos of Montreal, Filipinos of Montreal on Instagram, and Humans of New York, we are creating an anti-Asian racism awareness campaign called The Humans of the Filipino Diaspora. We aim to share the lived experiences of Filipinos in the diaspora as we face anti-Asian racism in our lives, our systems, and in ourselves. Racism manifests in various forms, from our everyday interactions such as discrimination, practices in an institution, to the history, culture, and current reality of your experiences as a person of color in the diaspora. You can go to their Instagram page, Kabanka Canada, and you'll find the form there to contribute your own experiences and your stories as a Filipinx person. Okay, so that's it for announcements, and we are nearing the end of our show, unfortunately. Remember to tune in again next week, Wednesday, from 2 to 3 p.m. on 90.3 FM CKUT. Next week, we'll be having Vero with her segment, Lahat Conectado, because everything is political. Once again, this is Fanny Cristo signing out. I love y'all.
Live Radio CKUT 90.3 FM every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Today's show will be a Yasin Bey, aka Mos Def, show. For the next 2 hours, I'm going to be trying to fit as much Mos Def music as I can. I'm going to be going way back to Urban Thermodynamics, the group that he was in with his brother DCQ and his sister Seth. All the way up to, you know, all of his solo albums. I'm going to visit a whole bunch of featurings. And Black Star as well, obviously, with Talib Kweli. So, yeah. I don't even want to talk too much. One of my favorite MCs, artists, really brought something different to hip-hop in my eyes. And The more people I meet, the more fans I meet, the more I understand that this person has affected a lot of people, a whole lot of people in a different way in terms of the hip-hop and in terms of the acting and just personal life choices. So without further ado, this is the Yasin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def Show. All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM.